But it's time we get excited. You know, we get excited about football games. We get excited about baseball games. We get excited about books. You'll pick up a book and you get so excited about this book you can't put it down. And you get excited about all these things that's out in the world. But how often are the things of God left out when it comes time for us to get excited? I got excited when we sang that song, It Will Be Worth It All, when we see Jesus. Amen? And it's going to be worth it all. We don't understand everything here on earth, but one day we'll understand everything. Amen? And but it's time that we get excited. It's time we get excited, number one, about God's house. In Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Ezra 3:12, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They was there, and they're having to rebuild the temple. And when they laid the foundation for the rebuilding of the temple, the people were excited. They're excited about it. They're excited about the house of God. We wake up on, man, we get all excited about, if we're having an activity or something, or there's a field trip or something, we can wake up hours early. We can get ready. We can sit there. Man, I can't believe I got this much time to kill before I have to be at the church or wherever we got to go to go on this field trip, wherever Brother Hammonds takes y'all or something. And we can get up excited about that. But it comes Sunday morning, it's time to get up to church, man. We can't drag ourselves out of bed, and we can't do anything. You know, it just seems like time gets away from us. And we just get late, or we're just not excited from the things of God. We come into the church and we sit there, and it looks like we're a bunch of cheerleaders at a car wreck or something. And we just not excited about the things of God. We're not excited about being in the house of God. But it's time we need to get excited about being in the house of God, because one day you may not have this church building to come to the worship of the Lord. And then what are you going to do? You're going to complain about the government taking the building away from you, not allowing you to worship or whatever, like they do in Russia and places, other places where they deny the people to worship. And then what are you going to do? You're going to complain about the government, but it's you that's going to give it up, because you're not excited and you're not thankful about the things of God. You're not excited about the house of God, being in God's house. We ought to be excited about, man, I get to go to church and worship the Lord today. We need to be excited about that. Secondly, we need to be excited about God's Word. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. In Nehemiah 8:1-5, we find that all the people are gathered together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. It says in verse 5, though, I'm going to drop down. It says, And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They were excited about hearing the Word of God. So excited. I mean, they stood up. And if you read there, it talks about they were there, and he was reading from daybreak to noon. From 6 to 12 he was there. For 6 hours he read the Word of God, and they stood up. We can't sit in God's church house for 15 minutes before we get antsy. And man, I can't believe the preacher's already preached 15 minutes. We're just not excited about God's Word. Like I said, we'll pick up any of the book and we can't put it down. We could pick up the Word of God and we can't get through 3 verses, and we feel like we've read enough. I'm just as guilty as any person here. But you know what? The truth is, we should be excited about God's Word. When's the last time you got into God's Word and something just got you excited? I tell you what, I was studying over in Nehemiah, and it struck me that all these men were gathered around Ezra, and I started looking up their names. One of them's name means it's the gift of God. One of them, his name means Jehovah has answered. Another one is Jehovah is our portion. Another man's name meant, let's see here, Jehovah has ransomed. And another name means He who is God. And another name meant Jehovah is King. And I got excited about those, because any name right there, you can preach a whole sermon on that name, because we need to get excited about God's Word. Even the names, the genealogies. Hey, look up the genealogies. Look up the names. Find out what they mean. Every name in the Bible means something. It was identified. It was, and basically, that person, he was identified by his character, through his name. Look up the names in the genealogies. Do a word study on it. Find out what... I mean, they're in there for a reason. You can get a blessing out of the genealogies. But God's Word. We need to get excited about God's Word. By the way, the King James Bible, authorized 1611 version, is still the bestseller of all time. Take these NIV and RSVs and MICKEY, MOUSE Bibles and chunk them. They're not the Word of God. And you got so many people, they're duped with this new King James Version. Oh, it doesn't change the Scriptures. Oh, yes, it does. It changes doctrine. But we need to get excited about the Word of God. Don't let anybody make you feel like you're stupid or inferior to them just because you want to believe the Bible. I mean, take a stand. Take a stand. Don't need to be afraid of them. Number three, need to be excited about our salvation. We've already talked about this. We need to be excited about our salvation. You know, people, they see our life and everything, and your life, people know how you should live as a Christian if you do not know. I've said that before, and I've told how people at work, they come and say, what about this person? He's doing this, and he professes to be a Christian. What about that? I said, you have to go talk to him. But people who are lost know how you should live, even if you don't. Psalm 51:12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Luke 10:17-20 says, And the seven returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because why? Your names are written in heaven. We need to be excited about the fact that we're saved and we're going heaven to heaven when we die. You know, I need to be excited about the fact when I was 17 years old, when God could have killed me and he'd have been justified, I could be burning in hell right now. I should be excited and thankful that God gave me another opportunity to hear the gospel and I got saved. I need to get excited about he used my life and now he's called me in the ministry. I need to get excited about being called in the ministry and leading others to Christ. Number four, need to get excited about souls. Need to get excited about souls. Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Psalm 126:5-6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what a sad time it's going to be in heaven for a lot of Christians who get saved and sit. They get saved and sit. I heard a statistic that 90% of everyone that's saved has never once led one person to the Lord. Now, I don't know where they got that statistic. I don't know who all it includes. But just think about that. 90% of everybody who says they're saved has never led one person to Christ. What a sad time that's going to be if that is true. They're standing before God in heaven and they have no one to stand with them that they've led to the Lord. And there's going to be others over here that will have people standing with us. You handed me a gospel tract. I didn't get saved right then, but years later I accepted Christ. You'll run into people that you met out here in a fort and they accepted Christ in a fort, but you never saw them again, but they really got saved. But you'll see them. I think of Joshua North, left here, lost. Pray for him. If he don't get saved, he's going to die and go to hell. But I pray that the Lord has sent somebody by his way and they'll lead him to the Lord, and I pray that I can hear about it so I can rejoice that he got saved, so I could be with him in heaven. Loved ones, I got some family, got some problems. They say they're saved, you know, they know the language. I talk to them and just such a mess. You need to pray for your family. Not just your immediate family, your whole family, everybody in your family. Pray for them. Brother Grab, I hadn't done it, but I'm going to add your mother to my prayer list. Got some more people I need to add to my prayer list. Where's Eugene? Brother, I'm adding you to my prayer list. Already told Brother Chris. I want to add you guys to my prayer list. I want to pray for you. Got to get excited about souls. Got to get excited about seeing people saved. That's what we're called to do. We have not been called to sit. We've been called to serve. And we are to serve. And how do we serve? By witnessing. by telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we're to be excited about God's provision. God has blessed us, our family, in the recent months. And we look so much sometimes on the circumstances that when God starts to provide, sometimes we don't see it right away, but then after a while, like Brother McVaney were talking about, God gets your attention and He shows you, man, just look at where you've been. Look what I just brought you through. And provide you with things that you never even thought possible. But in Malachi chapter 3, in verse 10, we find these words, "Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it." It's time to get excited, Brother John, because I don't care what God's done for you this year, but this year coming up we're going through, God can do great and wonderful things over and above what happened this past year. Brother Grab, it's time to get excited. Tabernacle Independent Baptist Church, it's time to get excited. I didn't know we got robbed out here. I didn't know somebody come out here and stole all our tools. Hey, but I tell you what, God can provide. That's His service from center. It's not ours. And he'll build His service from center. He'll build it. But it's time to get excited about God's provision. Lastly, it's time to get excited about Christ's return. So I don't have to sit here like some religions and wonder if I'm going. I don't have to put my hope in the Pope. My mother, she's going to watch the news and Andy Griffith. Okay? She's going to watch that. She'll watch the news. If she knows what they're going to say, she'll watch it. But they had the Pope on there giving his Christmas address, whatever. And he was old and decrepit, and he was leaning over trying to read this thing, his hat. I didn't think the hat was going to stay on his head. And I'm thinking, man, how pitiful that your hope is in that man. Man, his body is failing him. His speech is failing him. I don't think he was supposed to live this long, but their hope is in the Pope and a man and a system. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to His return. In Luke 15:10, it says, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and the mourning shall flee away." That Brother John says, Mom, you'll be able to take that brace off. I don't know if she'll run sprints or not. She might do some cartwheels. I don't know. But you know, there's people walking around. They can't see, they'll see. They can't talk, they'll talk. They can't hear, they'll hear. I mean, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church with Southern gospel music. And there's a song that says, "I saw a blind man walking along. He talked about how he stumbled. And he said, son, I'm a friend, I feel sorry for you. He said, don't feel sorry for me, because when I get up in heaven, I'm going to walk just like you. And we're going to see. The blind will see. We just need to get excited about the return of Christ. Acts 1:11, talking about the angel here, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taking up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go up into heaven." He's coming back. They say, well, you know, where is the promise of His coming? You know, I don't worry about the fact of the date He's supposed to be coming back. You know, I don't worry about the 88 reasons why God is coming back in 88. You know, I don't worry about that. I just know He's coming back. And I believe it's going to be soon. There's things happening in this world that's wasn't happening years ago. And I believe each day brings us closer and closer and closer. Brother Lightsey has already said that Pastor Harvey's not going to die, and he's going to be here to hear his last sermon. So that only leaves one answer: rapture. And what better place to be than be in the church hearing the preaching of God when Jesus comes? But I'm looking forward to His return. John 14:2-3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." God has promised that He is coming back. God cannot lie. And if He said He's coming back, He's coming back. And we need to get excited about the return of the Lord. I've been praying, and one thing I added on my prayer list is that I wanted God to grant me was patience and wisdom and discernment. And I added another one down there, excitement. I mean, if you're sitting in a church service and you get excited, I mean, let it rip. If you want to shout, shout. You want to raise your hand, raise your hand. If you want to run aisle, run aisles. When you start talking, though, we want to understand what you're saying. Amen. And we don't believe in that stuff right here. But we need to get excited. When I think about excited people, I think of Michael Graves. How many knew Michael Graves? He was an excited person. They talk about Larry Brown being animated. He was animated. We were sitting in the John Hendricks had a house, and when he was here, single soldier officer, and we were staying at the house, and we were listening to a sermon by Brother Ronnie Ouellette called Not For Sale, and he was sitting over in a chair like this right here, hanging on every word he was saying. And he got to some point, and he got excited. He jumped up, woo! Like after screaming, went down. I'm not going to do it because I just play football. I'm sore. But he went down, knocked out a few push-ups, got up screaming again, then sat back down, hanging, waiting for the next point. The rest of us are just looking at each other, looking at him, wondering what just happened. We couldn't figure it out, but he was excited. He was excited. We need to get a little excited. Amen? Amen? We need to get excited about the things of God. And we need to make that a New Year's resolution and resolve to get more excited about the things of God. There's many other things we can get excited about. Many other things that would be good for us to get excited. It would be good for us to get excited about our families. Amen? Get a little excited and put a little bit more pucker in your kisser. Amen? Families are going down everywhere. Everywhere I go. When I went back home, my mother says, well, this person, they split up, and this person, they split up, and this person, they split up. We need to get more excited about our families instead of all these things that's taking us away from our families. Amen? We need to get excited. It's time to get excited.